I didn't speak the language. I still don't speak it very well. But this was a new world for me. And something happened that changed my life and that is changing it until this moment. And that was getting to know Jesus Christ. Amen. Suddenly, my life as a little kid here started to give or get hope from above. And that has kept me all these years. With hope for the future, even though things sometimes do not look very, very well. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? Pastor Jim asked me to cover for him today. And he made it a little difficult for me because at first I just thought I will do a presentation that I've done before. And then he sent me an email and he said, "Brother Tony, I want you to do as the Lord. I want you to share as the Lord leads you." And so for the last 2 weeks, I thought, okay, I better search. I better ask the Lord what he wants me to talk about. And this topic of this morning is from the Lord. I didn't want to do it because it is very difficult for me. So I ask you for your grace. I ask you for your prayers, those that know the Lord. And this morning we have a lot of material to touch. We have a lot of material. And I ask you to consider in your heart, if you have doubts about God, about Jesus, about what happened to him on the cross, about his resurrection as recorded in the scripture, I want you to please consider today the evidences and what we are going to see. Amen? 2 weeks ago, many million people around the world celebrated the crucifixion, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Many more heard about it. Just heard about it. Some even mocked this belief. This morning, I want to share with you that it is possible and reasonable to believe in Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Please help me with prayer and let's put this service, this topic in God's hands. Heavenly Father, your people is here. We know your will is for all to be saved. And this message is what saves. Father, I ask you to please control every heart, every mind present in this moment. Father, I ask you to speak through me. I ask your Holy Spirit to speak to every soul present in this moment. I need your help. We all need your help and your blessing, your presence. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Many people mocked this idea that someone can come out of the grave after 3 days. Some people around the world even thought that 3 weeks ago was the birth date of the Easter Bunny. Today, my job is to take a closer look at what I believe is the most important event in human history. The crucifixion, the burial, and most important, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Brothers, why bother to look at this most important event in history? Why bother if it happened so long ago? How does this event affect me right now? Let me tell you, this event has the power to change your life. Has the power to change direction of your destiny. It has the power to save your soul for eternity. That is important. And that is why we have to take a look at this topic. We have to open our hearts and at least find out if there's some truth to it. Amen? Amen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the rock, the foundation of the Christian faith. Without the resurrection being valid and truth, the Christian people will be the most miserable people in this planet. We would not have hope. We would lose the time and we will be miserable. It is the rock. That is why it's so important to see and to check it and to analyze it. Amen? Why is this important? I tell you why. Many people go around this world every day without hope in their lives, without a relationship with our heavenly loving Father. It is sad to see people going around without hope, without assurance for the future. You've seen them. You've seen them walking around without protection. This world is toxic. This world wants to kill you. And it is the truth. If you think that you have money and that you have wealth and you have health, just wait a little bit. It's going to come and get you. It's going to come and get you. They're going around this world without the guidance that God gives us. Always looking for something that satisfies their inner being, but never finding it. Have you seen them? Have you been going to the movies or to the theaters? They're walking around. They're looking for something. They're going to this movie, and then they come out of the movie, and they're empty. Do you know why? Because they don't have God. They don't have God. They don't have the Spirit. The Spirit of God fulfills every need you can possibly have. The Spirit of God, if you don't have money, He will tell you, I will take care of you. And the teachings of the Scriptures tells you that our Father is the owner of the universe. And our future that comes is beautiful. These mansions and Beverly Hills are a dump compared to what we are going to inherit. Amen? So if you are having problems financially, we know where we're heading. And that gives us peace in our mind. Amen? It breaks my heart to see some young people, especially family members. They get up in the morning and they are tired with this rat race going around every day, with people taking advantage of them. Have you seen them? Have you seen their faces? It breaks my heart because they don't have God. They're going around this world suffering every day. So it is important. It is important. My job today is to share with you that believing in Jesus, in God, believing in the death of Jesus in the cross, His burial, and believing in His victory over death by His resurrection is a reasonable thing to do. That's my job. It is not a crazy thing to do. It is a logical thing if you look, because it is based on a historical fact that really, really, really happened. Now, what do I mean by reasonable? See, human beings do things that are sometimes very unreasonable. Amen? Very unreasonable. The facts are in front of them. They look at them. And then they make decisions or have these beliefs that don't go along with the facts. How many of you guys have seen some of those people? And maybe even us, we have done it before. Amen? Let me give you an example. I manage properties for people. That is my business. And I have to be very reasonable if I want to stay in business. Sometimes people come into my office. For example, this lady comes into my office and says to me, that tells me, I would like to rent a 3-bedroom house with 2 baths. It's got to have air conditioning. I don't like that swamp cooler thing. It's got to have a 2-car garage. Okay? Oh, and 2 bathrooms. And it's got to be over there by the park. You know, the Sky Harbor area, they call it. They call it the Upper Sky Harbor area. And I ask her, okay, great. And so, what's your price range? And she says, $600 to $800 a month. And I'm like, and I says, how did you arrive at that price? Well, I've been driving around, and I think I can find it. Are you kidding me? I think in my mind, the properties in that area starts at around $1,200 a month and higher. The facts, but she's ignoring the facts. She's got these beliefs that are unreasonable. That's what I'm talking about, being unreasonable in life. If you are unreasonable in life, you're going to have a hard trouble. You're going to have a lot of trouble in this life. You have to be reasonable with everything. Otherwise, you are going to suffer. So, is it reasonable to believe that somebody can come from the dead after a terrible beating, after being hung on the cross, after being stabbed in the heart? Is it reasonable? Wow, that is a big claim. That is a huge, big claim. For many years of my life, I trusted Jesus just because I wanted to. It felt good when I was younger. But I didn't know back then that the resurrection of Jesus Christ has solid historical evidences to support the claim. That if you take a look at what happened, if you analyze it, if you think about it, you can be convinced beyond any doubt that God exists, that He came from heaven and incarnated in Jesus Christ and came down and lived here a perfect life. There's a lot of evidences and records, and that He was killed, not because of His sins or because He owes something. He was killed on the cross, He was buried, and He rose from the dead. He appeared more than 500 people over a 40-day period. And then finally, in the Mount of Olives, He resurrects, He rose up, and He flew up the sky. And He said, I will be back. If you take a look at the evidences, you can be convinced. You can see that it is very reasonable to believe this. Now you see, this is very important. Because if you can believe in Jesus, what He did for you on the cross, the Bible says that if you put your trust in Jesus, you shall be saved. You shall be saved. You shall be saved. You see, everybody does faith in different degrees and in different forms. But the problem is that the subject and object of their faith is not Jesus. It's not. This morning, we have this word a little confused. Faith is not something we have. It's something, as understood by the New Testament writers, it's something that we do. Faith is something that we do because it is a verb. It's not a noun. Amen? It is an action that we do every single day. This morning, you got out, and then I can guarantee you, you had enough faith in your vehicle that it was in good shape to get you here. Otherwise, you wouldn't have gotten into the car for the first place. How many say amen? I just went to Kansas a couple days ago. And I looked at this huge yellow plane, metal thing, weighing tons and tons and tons. And I thought, oh my gosh. And I know on a plane, you can die if the pressure goes out and the oxygen is cut. You don't even have to crash. You can die because of lack of oxygen, and you can die of the temperature. And I thought, do I trust in the competence of this airline, of these people? And I looked at them, and they were very nice, very professional. And I says, okay, do I get into that plane? And the first thing I did is, I said, Jesus, I put my life in your hands. Please forgive me of all my sins. And if this thing crashes, please let me in, Jesus. And I thank you. But I had to exercise my faith in the competence of that company. You understand what I'm saying? Faith. We exercise faith every day. Even atheists have faith in their belief system. They're betting that this life is all we got. So let's live it up, baby. That's what they're thinking. They're betting on that. You understand? They're exercising faith. This morning, my hope is that every single one of you can put your faith in Jesus Christ. Because by putting your faith in Jesus, you will be saved for eternity. And that is very important, brothers and sisters. Now let me explain very quickly what I mean with important. What do I mean that you will be saved? Everybody here has a big problem. Everybody in the world has a huge problem, and some people don't even know it. The problem is called S-I-N. Sin. Sin is doing something that goes against God's will. Now, let me show you that you, all of you here sitting here, and me, are sinners. We are full of sins, even right now. So, I'm going to get a volunteer. Brother, you get up. You, stand there. How many of you guys know Brother Stanley? A lot of you, but if you guys don't know him, let's talk honestly, brother. Let's be honest, okay? Exodus 20. Thou shalt not steal. That's what the will of God is. Stanley, tell me, honestly, man, honestly. Raise your hand if you have ever stolen something. You're a thief, man. And I have stolen things. And I'm a thief. So I have that sin. How many times have you stolen something? Honestly, even little things. He doesn't have enough fingers. So you sin. Stanley, Exodus 20:16. You shall not give false testimony against your brothers. Have you ever said a lie? Come on. You sinned on that one too? Me too. You shall not covet or desire your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, his servant, his donkey, or anything that your neighbor has. Have you ever wanted something that belonged to your neighbor's brother? Yes. Sinner. I have done so. You see how you are guilty? You shall not commit adultery. Now Jesus says that if you look at a woman and just desire her with lust, you have committed adultery. Have you done that? Ah, oh, man, you screwed up. I've done it. So, by your own admission, you're a thief, you're a liar, you're an adulterer. Those questions, let's be very honest. Can anybody answer your hands to those questions? Can you answer your hands? Are you guilty of those things? We are full of sins. You can sit down, brother. We have a big problem. But then, and then, let me tell you what the big problem says. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages or the penalty of sin is death. If Brother Stanley or me did not know God, we deserve to die according to God's laws. Do you understand? Do you see how big the problem is? People are going around this world with this sin in their lives and without God, God's grace, God's forgiveness, and without being cleansed from those sins from their lives. They're going around. That's why they feel so miserable. And again, it breaks my heart to see even family, very close family of mine. And I want to do everything I can to bring them to faith. And this is one of the ways that I came to faith in Jesus. And that my faith got solid. You see, it's stable. Because I looked at this. How does God give us life through Jesus Christ? God the Father came down in the person of Jesus Christ, sent His Son, the Bible says. He lived 33 years in this planet, some 2,000 years ago, never sinned. And God, in order to save us, because we were guilty, had to send Jesus to the cross to die in your behalf. That's what we're talking about. Technically speaking, brothers, your sins were taken from you and they were put on Jesus. And we heard the pastor say it a couple weeks ago that when Jesus was in the cross, at one point, God turned around. God the Father turned around because Jesus was bearing your sin. And His blood had to be shed on the cross and on the cross, and He had to pay for a penalty that you deserved. That's what Jesus did. Jesus said that he was going to come back 3 days later, confirming that He has the power to give life and to get it back. And to give life to anybody that believes in Him. He also said that He was going to go back to His Father to prepare a place for us, and that He was going to come back to get us. He promised that when this body dies, when this physical body dies, He's promised that He will resurrect me just as He did. And one day, I'm going to have a perfect body that is going to be beautiful. I always dream of flying. I don't know about you. But when I get that body, you are not going to be able to catch me. Because I'm going to be going around fast. Glory to God. So, if His resurrection did happen, what would be the things that we would need to look at to convince ourselves? God gave a sign. When Jesus was preaching, people asked Jesus, give us a sign that you are the Messiah so that we can believe in you, because people want some type of signs. And Jesus said, no sign will be given to you but the sign of Jonah. Interpreted, you know what happened to Jonah? 3 days in the fish and then he came back. Jesus said that His resurrection from the dead validates who He is, His promises, and everything that He claimed. That is the sign. That is the sign that proves that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of this world. If the resurrection happened, then all He's saying, all His promises are true. And I want to learn them. Because I think that He did rise from the dead. Glory to God. So did He rise or not? That is the billion-dollar question. And today, I'm going to ask you to follow me as fast, as best as you can. because this is very critical, because I believe that if you are exposed to this and if you think about it and you really consider it, you can become 100% convinced that, yes, Jesus rose from the dead. And one day I will too, because of Him. Now, I am going to ask you to pretend you are a jury in a jury duty service. How many of you guys have been in a jury duty service? Raise your hand. I'm going to ask you for you to pretend you are a jury. Amen? And this is a court. This is a case. And we are trying to find out whether Jesus rose from the dead or not. And I'm going to ask you to consider, is this true? Did this really happen? I'm going to ask you to consider it. And so I'm going to ask you to go very fast with me. And we are going to take a look at evidences that God left for us to look at. Evidences that if we are careful and we tie the knots, because what happened is people forget to tie the knots. Forget to tie the knots of historic events. See, one relate to the other. One relate to the other. One relate to the other, and they give you a picture of what happened. So, I'm going to ask for Stu to put up the first historic event. Remember, you're a jury duty. Okay? I'm going to be presenting the evidence to you. Jesus Christ lived. If you don't think Jesus Christ lived, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. It is much easier to prove that Jesus lived than that He resurrected from the dead. Nowadays, even atheists cannot refute that there was a person that walked this planet some 2,000 years ago. Glory to God. I mean, we don't live in the year 2018 for coincidence. Amen. Amen? There are tons of evidences to prove that Jesus lived. He breathed. He heard. He ate. He cried, just like you. He laughed. There are thousands of manuscripts, thousands and thousands of archaeological items that show Jesus lived. The whole history of this world is divided before Christ and after Christ. Can you agree with that? Members of the jury. Jesus, He walked. He lived. And you know what? When I'm having trouble in this life, I know that He went through the same troubles that I'm going. And He understands how I feel. Because He's with me. He understands the troubles that I'm going. And that gives me peace and hope. Yeshua, Jesus lived. Is that reasonable? Do you think that's something that you can grab to? Jesus Christ, number two, Jesus Christ. And the reason why I brought this here, there's a reason. I want you to keep them in front of you. Because people tend to forget. Okay? There's a reason I'm leaving those up in front of you. Because we have to tie the knots of historic events. We have to keep this in mind. Jesus was crucified at the instigation of certain, not all, Jewish leaders. He was crucified by the Romans. If you looked at any historical book, you're going to see that there was a Roman Empire ruling the world during Jesus' time. Try to refute that. Good luck. Good luck with that. The Roman Empire ruled all Europe, all the northern part of Africa, all the Middle East. They ruled the Mediterranean Sea. They were the rulers. And they arrested Jesus Christ and they killed him on a cross. Brothers, he died by crucifixion. There's no evidences anywhere in history that Jesus died of old age. No, no. Jesus did not die in a traffic accident riding his donkey. No. He was crucified by the Romans. Try to refute that, atheists. You can't do that. You cannot do that. There's tons of evidences that prove that this is a historical fact. Believe me, it is much easier to prove that Jesus died by crucifixion. Number three, Jesus... Actually, sorry, not perfect. I was running this morning. This was there. Number three. You can go to number three, that one. So he was crucified. I wonder why we have all these crucifixes going around. Because of this crucifixion, that led to this man dying. Jesus was considered dead. And his death was a terrible death by crucifixion. That is a fact of history. The Romans, the Jewish leader, all the people that were around during Passover in Jerusalem during that time, because that happened during Passover, there were thousands of people in Jerusalem during that time. They all saw Jesus dead on the cross because he was on a little hill. They saw somebody struggling along with two others. Jesus was considered dead. You don't put a person that is alive in a tomb. Number four, Jesus, right after he was crucified and right after he was considered dead, he was placed in a non-tomb. Amen? He was placed in a non-tomb. Everybody knew where the location of the tomb was. The women knew it very well. On Sunday, they themselves went to the tomb. Everybody knew there was a lot of Romans guarding the tomb. It was a lot of commotion. People would walk in front and they would see all these Romans guarding this tomb with the seal of the Roman Empire, emperor. Everybody knew where it was. It was accessible and it was known to everybody. Do you agree that these are facts? I mean, it is much easier to prove these facts than his resurrection. People don't argue about this. It was a known place. Number five, after the burial of Jesus, this bunch of followers started to preach. Jesus rose from the dead. He defeated death. He's alive. He's alive, just like he told us. He said he was going to come back, and he is with us. I saw him. They started to preach that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and that he was appearing to them. I'm saying preached. He was preached. Amen? And the preaching included that he raised from the dead. These are elements of the preaching. the elements of the preaching of the disciples is that he rose from the dead, that the tomb was empty, and that he ascended up to heaven. That's what they were preaching. Amen? Brothers, this doesn't prove his resurrection. It's just telling what happened. And look, I'm doing it right now. Brothers, Jesus did rise from the dead. I'm doing it right now. This preaching has been going on through 2,000 years. Can you refute that? Do you agree that those facts of history are not refutable? Do you agree with that? Even atheists have to agree to this. So I want you to keep this in front of you throughout this process, because what's going to happen is that as your mind, as your brain gets this information, there's going to be a psychological reaction in your inside of you. And that psychological reaction with the evidences is going to start giving you assurance that, yeah, yes, I can hold to that. I can believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And if he has the power to regenerate his cells and his body, and if he has the power to do that, I want to be close to him. I'm not worried about dying. Look, brothers and sisters, some of the people that have very strong faith in Jesus and are getting to the point they're going home, or some of them that are alone, but they know Jesus, they're one of the happiest people in the world. They're not looking for family or nothing, because they have Jesus in their lives. When they're coming and getting closer and closer to their physical body dying, they don't worry about it, because they know Jesus has the power to defeat death. He has the power to give you new life. And when we die here, when this body closes, I'm going to open them right away. And that is a promise of God to us, to his children. Glory to God. Number 6, the Jewish leaders, there was a group of very, very nasty people. The Jewish leaders who instigated the crucifying of Jesus had a lot of interest to disprove that preaching. Yes or no? Because they convinced the Romans over there. Remember, keep an eye on those things. They convinced the Romans because Jesus claimed he was their Messiah. So, they had a lot of stake in this. A lot of stake. So I want you to keep this in mind. Okay? Common sense tells us that the Jewish leaders were ready to try to refute and disprove the resurrection preaching. Yes or no? How many of you guys remember the movie from Mel Gibson? Mel Gibson had to remove some lines where the Jewish people says, his blood is on us, because he had to remove it from the movie. Did you guys know that? Why? Because he didn't want to have problems with these guys. Even now, they say that Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead. This is a historical fact as well. Jesus came as their Messiah. They rejected their Messiah. Fact of history cannot be refuted. How do you guys feel up to right now? Fact 7. Right after the resurrection, after they started preaching, these guys started going after these guys. And they started drugging them and killing them and stoning them and taking them to jail. The early Christians suffered great persecution. And you know, brothers and sisters, even today, that is going on today. Hundreds and hundreds, and I would say thousands of Christians are dying today. The persecution of Christians have been going on since day one. Why? Somebody hates them. Somebody hates us. The devil, the demons, and he instigates evil against God's people. Is this, are you convinced this has happened and happened before? Okay, so keep an eye with all this evidences. These are facts of history that I want you to consider. Number 8. This is one of my favorites. Jesus' tomb. Jesus' tomb is empty. Who can say glory to God? Because Jesus' tomb is empty. He is not there. To this day, nobody knows 100% where the real tomb of Jesus is. Can you agree with that? Now, isn't it very strange that we don't know for sure where the tomb of Jesus is? Some people say, oh, it's here at Gordon's tomb. And this church says, no, 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 it's here. And this guy says, no, 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 it's there. Do you think that is very strange? Isn't it strange? We know where the tomb for Gautama Buddha is. Founder of Buddhism. It is in India. His body was cremated in a city called Kushnigar. In India. Amen. We know where the grave of Confucius is. Founder of Confucianism. His tomb is in his own town, Khufu, in a province of China. It is located in a large cemetery, and people go and remember Confucius there. We know where the tomb of Muhammad is, the founder of the Islamic faith. He's in the city of Medina. There his bones are. Jury, let's think about this. The tomb of 99.99% of all famous religious leaders is known. But Jesus' tomb is not known. Why? Wasn't he famous? People of the first century lost interest of the exact location of Jesus' tomb. Why? Because he was not there. There was nothing to look in there because Jesus rose from the dead. He got out of that hole and he walked and he left. And so people didn't pay attention to Jesus' tomb. Amen? So, what happened here? Let's just go very fast. Jesus lived, we agree with that. He was crucified, we agree with that. He was considered dead, we agree with that. He was buried in a known tomb, accessible, we agree with that. He was preached that he rose from the dead, that the tomb was empty, that he went up to heaven with the Father, we agree with that. We agree that there were some people, the Jewish leaders, that tried to kill him and disprove the preaching. We all agree with that. The disciples were persecuted because of their preaching. We all agree with that. We see it right now. And there's an empty tomb, and nobody can find the corpses of Jesus. So how in the world can we explain this? If it's not for the truth that Jesus rose from the dead. What happened here in history? What happened? This world that hates God, hates Christians, hates His church, thinkers, atheists, philosophers have come up with many explanations over the centuries to refute the preaching of those people and of Christians. They have come up with theories, explanation. Now, remember what I talked about reasonable things being reasonable? You are a jury. Let's find out what the world has come up with over the years to explain this. Let's see what they're saying. Now, you are the jury, and this is going to be a decision that you and only you will have to make for yourself, for the salvation of your soul. You have to make it yourself. You have to be sure about this before you close your eyes. And believe me, here we're all going to die. One thing that is 100% sure is that you, your physical body is going to die. And before that happens, you need to make a decision. And that decision cannot be wavering. It has to be a firm decision. So we're going to go over the theories, the explanation that this world has put up. And then you tell me, you're going to go reasonable? Reasonable? Where's my thumbs? You're going to go, yes, this explanation is reasonable, or you're going to go unreasonable. Amen? Amen? Can you guys do that as I go through the explanations? May I have a little more juice for this? I'm getting just a little bit. Thank you. Okay. While we are going through this, remember, ask yourself, is this reasonable? If I analyze this, does this make sense? Okay, and in your mind and in your heart, go like this, or go like that, or raise your thumb. Now find that, and then keep in mind, remember how these historic events affect these theories. So when I give you the theory, I want you to scan all these 8 evidences. Okay? Scan them. Let's go and look at the first one. Jury, are you ready? Number 1, the disciples stole the body of Jesus, they're saying. Who stole it? Really? The cowards? Do you remember what the historic record of the disciples? What did the disciples do when Jesus was arrested? They all fled his master and left him alone. Now without their master, you mean to tell me that now without their master, they came and fought the Romans that were guarding the tomb and overcame them and beat them up? You mean to tell me these cowards that were hiding in fear during this time somehow got the courage and went out and stole the body? Is this reasonable? Matthew 27:65 says, Pilate said to those guys, the Jewish leaders, this, you have guards and guard the place and go and make it as secure as you can. Now you think these guys were going to allow the body of Jesus being stolen? These people had, here they are. Come on, help me out. These people even have guards in their temple. Now, it was Passover, so there was a lot of people. The Romans knew that Jesus had thousands of followers. They knew that Jesus had thousands of followers. How many guards do you think they put in front of that tomb? A lot. A lot. And you mean to tell me that disciples stole the body? It is unreasonable. Now, what if they did? What about the preaching? The apparitions of 500, that Jesus appearing to more than 500 people. It doesn't explain that, because if the disciples somehow managed, let's say that the guards all fell asleep and they took the corpse. Let's say that that happened. What about the ascension? It doesn't explain the whole message, amen? So for me, it's thumbs down. Number two, the Jewish leaders stole the body. They stole the body. It wasn't the disciples. This is very easy to refute, because when the preaching started, when they started to preach, Jesus rose from the dead, all they had to do is bring the corpse of Jesus. Bring the stinky body of Jesus and put it in downtown Jerusalem for everybody to see, and their preaching would have stopped immediately. Amen? So that for me is, I'm a jury, I'm thinking for myself, that for me is down. Number three, the Roman leaders stole it. The Roman leaders stole the body. For me, it's the same. Down, because when they started preaching, Jesus rose from the dead, what would the Romans would have done? Brought the body in downtown Jerusalem and say, hey, your Jesus didn't rise from the dead. He's here. And the preaching of the disciples would have stopped right away. Number four, the woman went to the wrong tomb. Believe it or not, people are saying those things. That's very easy to prove. Because all you have to do to stop this preaching is take them to the right tomb. And it's going to be a little stinky if you move it a little bit. You understand what I'm saying? If the women went to the wrong tomb, then just take them to the right tomb. So that for me is down. Number five. Oh, it was hallucinations. Don't look into that. It was hallucination. It was glorified daydreams. They were sincere. They believed that this happened, but they were just hallucinating. Brothers, I'm not a medical guy, but hallucinations are a subjective thing that happens inside of your brain only. Subjective things do not happen to 500 people at the same time. Amen? Medically speaking, this is a down. And if it was just hallucinations, what would these guys have done? They would have taken the hallucinating disciples to the right tomb, and they would have said, hey, stop having those things that maybe weed makes. Maybe they were smoking weed or something. Oh, they would have brought the disciples, stinky disciples, to the tomb, and it would be even stinkier. Amen? So theory five is, for me, two. Amen? This one is very popular. Number six. I forgot I had this. Well, you guys are seeing it over there, so doesn't. I had a lot of ideas, but okay, that's enough right there. That's more than enough. Number six. Resuscitation. Now, this is very popular. There was a movie done recently in where Jesus didn't die on the cross. He just fainted. In the coolness of the tomb, he managed to get himself together. You know, he walked with broken feet because of the nails, with broken arms, and he managed to get the ropes, and then he managed to move the stone all by himself. Okay? And then he managed to beat up all those Romans that were outside along with the soldiers. Now, since this is a very popular, let's Let's find out if it holds to reason, brothers. But for me, it's already a no. Look, listen, brothers. Thursday night, Jesus was very stressed. 9 p.m., Jesus was sweating. He was losing a lot of water, a lot of liquid. The Bible says that his capillaries opened and he was sweating blood. He was under so much stress because he knew the following day he was going to die. And if you knew that you were going to die by crucifixion, you would be too. And Jesus was sweating blood. At about 3 o'clock in the morning, the soldiers from the temple came and arrested him. So he didn't get any sleep. He was beaten by the Jewish people. All night, he was beaten by the Jewish people. 3 to 5 a.m. in the morning, he was being beaten by the Jewish. Then Jesus was brought from one end to the town to another end to the from the town to the governors. And then he was given 40 lashes. 40 lashes. 40 Roman lashes. After that, Jesus must have lost 30 to 40% of his blood just from the lashes. When Jesus, and then he was made to carry a cross that weighed 80 to 120 pounds. And they made him carry that cross uphill to Golgotha. By the time Jesus was trying to carry that cross, Jesus was very weak and he needed help. That ought to give you some information on what the condition of Jesus was at that time. Brothers, you don't survive a Roman crucifixion. Then Jesus got to Golgotha and himself, he got on top of the cross. And both of his hands were nailed. This huge nails. Both of his feet were nailed. Blood vessels, veins, arteries probably were ruptured. From 9 a.m. on Friday, for 6 hours, Jesus is bleeding to death on the cross. You mean to tell me, you want me to believe that Jesus just fainted and he got up and then he convinced the world that he was a resurrected Savior? Are you kidding me? My daughters, they're teenagers, and they always tell me, "Are you kidding me, Dad?" Well, listen, for all of those that think that Jesus fainted, I'm going to say to them, "Are you kidding me?" By 3 p.m., Jesus was dead. And then the Roman went to check to see if Jesus was dead, and he got a sword, and he went in the middle of the rib cage, of the ribs, and he went into his heart and stabbed Jesus' heart. And water and blood came out. Jesus died on the cross, people. This, people that believe in this, are not reasonable, believe me. They're not reasonable. That leaves us with the last two theories. Number 7. The disciples lie. They just made up this. They bet on the wrong man. And they just put this big lie together to save face. Now, theologians and brothers and sisters, Christians, have studied this. And they can see three reasons why we don't believe that disciples lie. Let me go over very quick because time is going. But you with me? You want to stay with me? This, you want to finish this, right? Amen. This is very important. Reason number one why we believe the disciples did not lie. That all the disciples were radically changed for the better. after the resurrection. You do not change for the better with a lie. It doesn't happen, brothers. They were changed. Peter was changed from instability, from being a coward, to the rock of the church in Jerusalem. Before the resurrection, Peter would be scared of a little girl that would say that he was a Jewish. And after the resurrection, Peter stands in front of a mob and preach, and 3,000 get saved. Peter was transformed by something. And I think that something was the resurrection of Jesus. Amen? John, the apostle John, before the resurrection, he had a bad temper. He and his brothers were called the sons of thunder. If you oppose John, he would call fire from heaven to burn you down. That's the type of guy he was. He was a selfish, brat, really bad guy. He would send his mother to ask Jesus for the best seat in the kingdom. That's what John was. After the resurrection, John is transformed into the disciple of love. Just read his letters. Just read the letters. John was transformed by something, and that is the resurrection of Jesus. Thomas, this guy, I love Thomas because I'm like Thomas. Thomas, he was always doubting. One time, he was with Jesus, and Jesus was heading back to Jerusalem, and I says, I'm going to go, and Thomas says, oops, we're going to get killed. Okay, let's go, and let's die with Jesus. That was Thomas' mentality. In another location, in another time, Jesus, before the resurrection, Jesus was telling the disciples, I am going to go with the Father. You know the way. I'm going to come back. And everybody was saying, yeah, the mansions. And Thomas is like, what? We don't know the way. We don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? That was Thomas, the thinker, the guy that was doubting. After the resurrection, the records of the church tells that Thomas went over the Himalayas into India, which was governed by the most philosophical people of the day, where Buddhism and the Eastern religions were brought out. And he preached Jesus never to waver again. Thomas was converted into a preacher for Jesus. Who was the one that was doubting when the news of the resurrection came? Thomas. These guys were transformed by something. And I think that something was the resurrection. Number two, there are indirect evidences and internal consistencies in this story. You know, this is what police officers look whenever they're trying to find out what happened. Do you know what police officers do when they catch two individuals? They separate them. And they start asking questions to this individual and find out if there's consistencies in their sayings. Right? Well, there's a lot of indirect evidences, internal consistencies in the scripture. Let me tell you one. Let me tell you two or three real fast. Number one, Mark. We all agree that Mark preached that the gospel of Mark was directed to the Gentiles. Amen? Well, if Mark was a liar and he was portraying Jesus as the Son of God, why in the world would Mark record Jesus calling himself as the Son of Man? In the book of Mark, you find Mark recording that Jesus called himself a lot the Son of Man. Now, Son of Man looks very human to me. Why wouldn't Mark put Jesus as calling us the Son of God, Divine Master, Son of Man? But you don't know that until we realize that Jesus was talking to a Hebrew audience. And the Hebrews knew the book of Enoch and the book of Daniel. When Jesus was calling himself the Son of Man, the Hebrews knew that the Son of Man meant the Messiah. The Messiah that was coming in the clouds of glory to set up his kingdom. So Son of Man, the phrase Son of Man referred to the Messiah. That's why Jesus called himself Son of Man. Amen? Everybody knows that in the Old Testament world, women were considered incapable of not being credible witnesses. So, if they were liars, why in the world would the Gospels present the women as the first witnesses? If they were trying to cook up a lie, why present women as the first witnesses? Let me tell you why, brothers and sisters. Because they were telling the truth. They were telling what they saw, what they actually happened. Amen? Internal consistencies. One last one. And we are almost done. In the feeding of the multitude, Jesus turns to and asks Philip, "Hey Philip, where can we buy some bread? Where can we buy some food?" Why Philip? Well, if you look at John 1, you're going to see that Philip was from Bethsaida. And that's where they were. So it is logical to assume that Jesus turned to the person that knew the area. Internal consistencies are all over the scriptures. Amen? And they give us hints that this is true. Number three, all these disciples die and pay the ultimate price for a lie? You mean to tell me that the disciples die for a lie? People don't die for a lie. You look at the record. You look at the record, brothers. Bartholomew was skinned alive in Armenia. Thomas was pierced with the sword in India. Peter was crucified upside down. St. Andrew was crucified. Luke was hanged by idolatrous priests. Why would these men, followers of Jesus, die for a lie? And the last one identified by scholars is that they not only die for a supposed lie, they die alone. These disciples, I can conceive that being in a peer group, they were lying, I can conceive maybe they kept the lie for a little bit. But separate Thomas in India, okay? Separate the different disciples in different places, and all they had to do to not get killed is say, "Hey, this was a lie, okay? We bet on the wrong horse, man. Bye." They would have let him go. But you know what? These disciples all die alone. It is inconceivable that they were telling a lie. So what is left? What's the last one? The only conceivable explanation to this. Last one? You see this, brothers? This explains the preaching of the disciples, the empty tomb, the apparitions, the going up into heaven. This is the only one that holds scrutiny. This is the only one that if you really look at all the evidences, this is the only one that will hold water. This is the only one that is firm. Brother, when I went through this material myself, I knew Jesus rose from the dead. My brother and my sister, if this day you had doubts in believing in a Jesus that came from heaven, lived 33 years in this planet, didn't sin, and then had to die for your sins, if you can believe in that and can trust and can put your trust in Him, you will be saved. Your life will be changed forever. You will not be alone ever again, because the Holy Spirit, the same force, the same Spirit that came and resurrected Jesus, the same presence of God, the same God that resurrected Jesus is going to resurrect you. And is going to be with you every single moment of your life. And in this moment, I am going to ask Brother Stude in a moment to play one song. And I want you to meditate in your heart. What is the most reasonable explanation to this? And can I trust in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Can I put my faith and believe in His resurrection, in His person, in His promise? If you have never done that before, if you were wavering, if you were not sure, I want to tell you, brother, Jesus rose from the dead, and He has the power to change your life. He has the power to give you life. He's coming very soon. He's coming to get you. He's coming to take you with Him. He is the God of the universe, and He loves you. The Bible requires a response to this. It requires a decision that you have to make. That is why we have free will. And I'm going to ask people right now, if anybody would like to come forward here, and we will be praying, we will be doing a prayer of repentance, a prayer to receive our Lord Jesus Christ as who He is, the Savior of our lives. Brother Stude, if you would like to make that decision today, I invite you to come forward and give your life to Jesus. Tell God, I believe in your Son. I believe that He died on the cross for a reason, and that reason was to save me. I believe His blood was shed to pay the price that I couldn't pay. And I invite you to come forward. Brother Stude,
seems like all I could see was the struggle. Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past.
But you want to follow Jesus?
In shackles of all,
come forward.
Show
that you have the faith to follow Him.
Wondering how long is this gonna last? Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight. It's already been won. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. I'm redeemed. Named by the voice. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. 'Cause I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be. Oh God, I'm not who I used to be. Jesus,
I trust that all of you are in agreement with the evidences and an agreement that the only explanation is that Jesus rose from the dead. Amen. He was able to pay for our sins. Yes. He is in heaven, yes, in our hearts. The same Holy Spirit that raised him is in our hearts now. Yes. And he's coming very soon. The situation in this world is getting worse, and it's going to get even worser. So let's stand up and let's pray and let's tell Jesus we love him. Let's thank Jesus for the terrible pain that he had to go in order to save us. Amen? Jesus is my Savior, my love, yeah, my companion, yeah, my brother, yeah, my everything. Yeah. He's the best person I've ever known. And I want to follow him. I want to live for him. I want to serve him. Yes. I want to be a good testimony for him so that this message is taken out to those that need it. Maybe we can do that in another time, and maybe we can bring other people that do not know the Lord in the future. You guys tell me. So let's pray. Father, precious Father in heaven, we want to thank you, Father, because you did not leave us without help. Amen. You left us evidences that we can see, that we can analyze. Father, thank you. Thank you for coming and doing this marvelous work in Jesus. Thank you for taking my sins away. Because of you, I am saved. I am your son. I have a future. Father, I know that I'm going to have tribulations, but Father, I know you are with me now. I can go to the tribulations in victory and in with confidence that you are with me, that I'm going to get through it because you're with me. Thank you, Father, for that assurance. Father, I command my brothers and sisters into your hands. Father, bless them. Bless your church. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're not alone.